Matthew 16. I've been dealing with some Bible questions on Sunday morning. And thank you. One of my grandchildren said, "Pop, I'm glad that Gideon question's over. You spent 4 weeks on that question." Amen. I love it. Make you sharpen your pencil up. Gideon did ask a great question, didn't he? If God be with us, then why is all these things fallen to us? And if your God did all those miracles, why isn't He doing them now? But God showed him His Word was faithful. For God's still in the miracle business. Matter of fact, many times the reason we don't see more miracles is we don't put forth the effort that God wants us to put forth that He may provide His helping hand. If you're saved by the grace of God this morning, if you've trusted Christ and Christ alone as your Savior, and you've been gloriously born again from the Spirit of God from above, and a new creature in Christ, that's the greatest miracle that's ever walked around in this world. And I'm thankful this morning for the God of this Bible. Now a new Bible question, Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, and it's a great question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others say You're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered. And He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You may be seated this morning. Thank You for standing saved by the grace of God. Help us now today. I pray that You'd touching our services tonight. And God, You'd help us like only You can help us. And Lord, I'm a needy preacher this morning. I don't have in me what it takes to do this. But God, I know that You live in me. And I know that You can do things through me. And I yield myself now to You. And I ask You to let me be a blessing to the people of God this morning. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You. Amen. And amen. Notice if you would in verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea and Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I want to say, first of all, you'll notice in verse 13, there was a private conversation. Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, some 25 miles from where the disciples had been gathered together. There the Lord had proved Himself by that of the breaking of the loaves and the simple two little fishes. God had proved Himself in that area, and so He led His disciples away, and He has this private conversation with His disciples. Can I tell you, we are so honored that God would have a private conversation with us. A lot of people's wanting God to say something to them, but let me ask you this, have you ever opened up this King James Bible and let God have a private message to you in your life? Can I tell you, the Word of God's still right today. And the Word of God is still reliable in this day. So Jesus wanted to have a private conversation. He brought those disciples out from the multitude. There's a multitude of things going on today, and if there's ever been a time that we as the children of God need to have a private conversation with the Lord, it is today. For you see, God is wanting to speak with His children, and God is wanting to communicate through the Word of God. So there's a private conversation. But look, if you would, what really interests me. He asked them the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He didn't ask that question because he didn't know. But he simply asked that question to see what they would say. Can I tell you, in the Gospel of John, there are over 150 questions that the Lord proposed. And so in these questions of the Lord, He's not asking this wanting to know, but He simply wants to know what they know about the situation. So we'll notice now in verse 14, not only a private conversation, but let's look at this public consensus. He said, what do men, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, what's the men saying? And so, verse 14, we see this public consensus. They said, well now, Lord, I tell you, I heard the other day, somebody said that you were John the Baptist. Matter of fact, hadn't been long that John the Baptist, his head was took off because of preaching. And so, then the others responded and said, well, some say you are Elias. You're Elijah, Lord. You've come back as Elias. Then they said, now in this great census, some say you are Jeremiah. We notice that you wept over Jerusalem, and at Lazarus' grave, you cried out. And so, Lord, others assume you are like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Then they said, and I tell you another thing about this consensus. Some say that you're a prophet. Can I tell you that consensus is still going on today? There's many people that don't believe Christ to be in whom He is. And so here in this public consensus, I've noticed that there's two types of individuals, or there's two types of leadership that it's always been, whether it's in your church, in your home, or in your business, there's always two types. There's the first type that leads by public consensus. They want to know what men are saying. They love to check on the polling data. That reminds me of where we live in America. That men as a norm, they want to see what the people are saying about the situation. And so in your life, I've noticed in the homes and in our churches, in this culture that's on a big downslide from the old fundamentals of faith, a lot of times people, they want to wet their finger and stick it up in the air and see what way the wind is blowing. A lot of people, they make their decisions by the polling, by what men say, by this consensus. He said, well, now, I want to know what men are saying about me. So the two types of leadership, they're simply those that lead by public consensus. And I want to say then, when they get the voice of the people and the mind of the people, then they lead the people in the direction they want to go. That reminds me of a lot of ministries today. They get the public opinion. They They get the poll data, and so within that, then they start leading the people in the way that they want to go, instead of how the Bible says to go. I've noticed even where I used to work, it was so many times in leadership, you know, everybody had an opinion, and men were quick to say what they wanted to say. But can I tell you, it doesn't matter if I'm saying it or you're saying it. If it's contrary to the Word of God, then we need to leave it alone this morning. And so he said, I want to ask y'all this question. He said, who do men say that I am? And so it was all types of different opinions. You know, when you listen to other people and what men say, you'll notice that it turns out into a simply a compromise. We listen about, if you took a census today in America, how do you get to heaven? Well, the modernists, they believe that the Muslims are going to heaven because they know God. They call Allah their God. And then the Buddhists, you know, they have their way. And so they become the socialist modernists. And then they say, well, the Jehovah Witness, they have their way. You know, all roads lead to heaven. But that's what a lot of men saying this morning. But the Bible is contrary about how we get to heaven. For it said that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Him. End of the conversation. Now, many times when a person stands upon their belief, they go against the tide, they go against the flow, then they become critical, and so they become as they're a bad person because they're standing up against the flow of evil activity. This morning, one type of leadership is to lead by public consensus. How do y'all think we ought to go? What's men saying who he is? And then, when a man leads by public consensus, not only will there always be that pluralist compromise, but then comes political correctness. Political correctness. Don't say anything about the homosexual community. Don't say anything about the killing babies organizations. Because we have to be politically correct. I didn't know I was a politician. I thought I was a preacher. And therefore, when in your life and in your home, I ask you this, are you leading by a public consensus? It's what your children think you ought to be doing. I had a country mama. She'd make white milk gravy and biscuits. She made her biscuits so thick. You didn't drink her gravy, friend. You slung it off the spoon on your plate. She put grease in what she cooked. And she kept a sugar jar there. That's why I'm so sweet. I ate all that sugar as a kid. But you know, even as a young kid raised in a culture from right and wrong, my mom and daddy didn't let me make the decisions. I felt like I could drive it. 13 years old, well, I knew everything at 13. I didn't understand why they wouldn't give me the pickup truck and let me go hang out with the boys at 13. I didn't understand that. But I would tell them I was capable. But I'm glad I had a daddy that didn't go by just the public opinion. He put some boundaries down. And let me tell you something, daddies that lead. If you lead by public opinion, you're not going to go very far in leading your family to God. You're not going to go very far in this culture without God. Because we need God like we've never needed God. I'm doing something this day and this hour that I cannot do without God. I told Brother Mike this morning, I said, Brother Mike, there's a lot of pressure on a preacher. When the ministry's doing well, the building is filled, and we've got all these winds of compromise blowing across our culture, and when the man of God stands up and says, what's always been right is still right, and what this Bible says always been wrong is still wrong, you're going to pay a price for standing against the culture. But if God be for ye, who can be against ye? I just want to go and tell y'all this morning, if I don't have God on the preaching, I'm out of business. Because I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm a preacher. And so therefore, we see in this question that Jesus asked, not only this private conversation, but this public consensus, then there's two ways of leadership. One, you lead by public consensus. Or secondly, you lead by personal conviction. Look what he says. They said, well, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. In verse 15, he saith unto them, okay, I know about all that, but whom say ye that I am? I want you to tell me what you believe. What do you think of me? I know what they're saying. But he brings it down a little narrow now. And I want to say, there's some that leads by public consensus, but thank God there's some that lead by personal conviction. Some of you need to get some convictions. I'm not going to rule your house. I don't play God. I preach the Bible and go to my house. But I want to tell you, we need to realize God gives us individual convictions for a reason. My convictions may not be your convictions, but you all need some convictions. Personal conviction. Look what Jesus said, Matthew 7 and 14. You young people are going into a school Tuesday when it starts back. You're going out in the real world. You need to have some personal convictions about you. Mom and Daddy says, we all go into our workplace, we must realize we all need some personal convictions. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 14. He said, verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Boy, isn't that so true? A little drinking here, a little smoking weed here, a little pill popping here, a little running around here. Before long, it totally leads to a total life of destruction and devastation. And look, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14 is my thought. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, I've been called narrow-minded before. But can I tell you that all truth is narrow? All truth is narrow. For instance, if I take this water and set it out on the back porch, I tell you how narrow That formula is, this water will not freeze till it turns to 32 degrees. And I can set it on my back porch, honey, and I can set there the 4th of July till it drops to 32 degrees. It ain't freezing. It's narrow. Truth has always been narrow. 2 and 2 is 4. That's a very narrow truth. 2 and 2 is not 5. Boy, when that math teacher was grading me, I didn't understand them big old red checks on my paper. Back then, kids, they had a little stamp. The teacher had different kind of stamps. She had a big pad. She'd stamp your paper. Y'all remember that little bear on a ball? He'd be standing on that ball straight up. I didn't get many of them. But I remember that bear falling off that ball with his hand up. I seen a lot of them. You know why? Because the formula was strict. 2 and 2 is 4. And if I put 7, guess what? I didn't get a trophy for participating. Do you hear me, young people? They didn't give me a trophy unless I won. But now we're in a culture and an economy where everything is, oh, so feminine, so offensive. Why don't men stand up and be men and lead their families the way God wants you to lead your families? Why don't ladies submit to their husbands as unto the Lord and love them? And when you get that home out of order, you got chaos. I've heard people say, oh, you preaching that old stuff. Sure am, because it works. And it's narrow. It's narrow. But we live in a culture and a society that they want everybody to be politically correct. May we, as the Church of the living Lord Jesus, stand up and realize there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. Today, private conversation. Public consensus, but personal conviction. This form of leadership, when you're leading by personal conviction, I tell you what you'll do. You'll take the people to a place where the Bible says go. But if you run things at your house and at your job and at your church by what the men are saying, then you'll always take that family or people in the direction they want to go. Do you understand that? This Bible must be driven down in our hearts and in the middle of our living room. And let me tell you something real quick about raising children. Everybody's children are different. I had one I could pop my fingers at. She'd just smell. I had one pop my fingers at. She'd say, come get you some. So write the book on that. Tell me about it. I tell you what, it's a trial and an error. But honey, at the end of the day, we had standards and convictions at our house and we led our family toward God. I served in one of the most successful organizations in the state of Georgia. And I have not become blessed over there the way I was because I listened to the winds of compromise. Sure, I was blackballed many times, but they knew where I stood. And God honored this book. You hear me, mom and daddies? You may not be the most popular, but God honor. God honors His Word. So Jesus brings it down and He says, I know who they say I am. But this is a good question for our church. What does Jesus mean to you? Because that's what He's given us in this Bible truth. He said, well, I want to know who you say I am. But whom say ye that I am? Brother Mike stood up and testified a while ago what I love. And this is where independent Baptist churches have went wrong. You listen to this man of God this morning. When you become so judgmental and you know how to fix everybody's issue and problem but yours. And when you downplay other people's children because they make a mistake and you throw them under the bus, that's unbiblical. We are to restore and pray for one another and help one another. And when a person repents of their wrong, they cease to quit doing their wrong. So, it gets real personal. Who do you say Jesus is? And then, of course, Simon Peter, one of the greatest Bible heroes. Lastly, in verse 16, there's a very powerful confession. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If Miss Sherry had come this morning, I want to ask you today, are you leading by public consensus? What they say it's okay to do? Turn on your TV, you can get a lot of public consensus. It's okay to do this. Hollywood's doing it. All the ball players are doing it. Are you living and leading by a public consensus? But are you living and leading by simply personal conviction? May God help us in our lives to lead by personal conviction. There are some things that God will allow me to do that He won't allow you to do. But He's given you them convictions for you. Not for really nobody else. I don't preach my convictions. I want to preach the Bible to you. Straight and narrow is the way. And then He said something in John chapter number 14. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Now I want to ask you, lost person, who is Jesus to you? He loves you. He died for you. He's done more for you than anybody could ever do for you. And that's die on a cross for your sins. The Bible teaches us that we're saved by grace through faith. There is no other way. Grace is what God has done for us on the cross. The Bible says He's given every man a measure of faith. There's something in you that could respond to God by faith. And you could be saved this morning. But you'll have to come God's way. That's with a repentant heart, realizing you're a sinner and you need the Savior. And God will save you. And mom and daddies, isn't that so true in this culture that we live, as these winds of compromise blow across our homes and our churches, who is Christ to you? Who is He to you? He means everything to me this morning. I wished this morning, we've got some of the greatest young people in our church. I'd like to give two invitations today. Service a little different. Miss Sherry, play. I want